Our brothers ask us to read from John chapter 1, if you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. Well, as we all know, we're in a pandemic, as we were told. We've been studying end times in the book of Revelation last few Sundays, and I think the virus, as it spreads around the world, and no doubt will affect us eventually in a much stronger way, is a good example of what we can expect in the end times. And if you take a look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, the first several verses down maybe to around verse 10, you'll see some things listed there which will take place in the end times. The Bible talks about end times, mentions it many times, says that we're in the end times, always have been, basically. But as we get closer to the end, the true end, we'll see more of these things happening in the world around us. Matthew 24 calls it a time of sorrows. All right, John chapter 1, and we want to read verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Read a little further than I was supposed to there. Let's come before the Lord as we kneel together.
Good evening. I think I'm on now. Thank you, Brother Tom, for your reading of the scripture and your prayer. And also the prayers of each one of you and the encouragement that I've received throughout the last week or so when you found out that I had this responsibility here tonight. I appreciate the encouragement that you have been. And the prayers that I have received. Brother Paul actually had texted me one evening some time ago about taking his turn here tonight, because he had revivals, obviously. And I know I can't take Brother Paul's place here tonight, but I'm going to speak on, I believe, what the Lord has laid on my heart. And so tonight we're going to look at John chapter 1 there, what Tom read. And as I studied for this, I had thought of something I had read some time ago. I believe it was actually in one of Paul Shirk's classes that he has occasionally at the ministers have, he was teaching. And it was a pamphlet he had handed out there. It was the selected excerpts from The Greatest Fight in the World from Charles Spurgeon. And the quote that came to my mind was from Charles Spurgeon. The quote was, "We ought to prepare the sermon as if all depends on us, and then trust the Spirit of God, knowing that all depends on Him." The thought behind that, the previous little quote there that he had up to that was, the Holy Ghost will not come to rescue us from the consequences of willful neglect in the Word of God and study. In other words, if the Holy Spirit would come and give us that inspiration without us really studying, which it can happen, the lazier the preacher, the better the sermon, is what he says. And I agree with him. We have the responsibility when we stand before use and preach to look into God's Word, to study God's Word. And so as I prepared this sermon, I tried to prepare it as if it all did depend on me. Tried to put in the time, put in the study. And now as I stand before you, I trust God's Holy Spirit and realize that it all does depend on Him. Because without God, without God's Spirit, I might as well sit down. It all depends on God and what He can do through me. May God get the glory this evening. As I thought about a title and a topic, actually a good bit of a challenge trying to figure out exactly what you want to speak on, my mind went back to Revelation chapter 11 there and the two witnesses. I had the privilege of teaching that, the class there in the young married class on that Sunday morning, on the two witnesses. And Revelation as a whole has been good, I think, to study. It's been challenging. It's been thought-provoking. But one of the things I love about Revelation is the overall theme that God is in control. And God will be the final victor, and we can have confidence in that. As we look there at Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. We know these two witnesses are from God. What was the purpose of these witnesses? We know they prophesied for 1,260 days, whatever it was there. But this, I believe, among other things, could be another chance from God to man for repentance. The Revelation chapter 11 says that, or 11 verse 7 says, when they had finished their testimony, these two witnesses had a testimony, and it was not finished until God said, it's done. And then, obviously, the beast kills them. But they finished their testimony. They had a testimony. As I thought about that, that was on my mind. And then one morning I was reading from my devotions here in John chapter 1. And here we see John sent from God as a witness to bear witness or to give testimony of the light. The NIV reads this way. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. So the purpose of John's witness and testimony was to show men God. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so the title tonight of the message is The Testimony of a Witness. As I looked up these words and the meanings of them, it was kind of interesting. A witness is a person who sees an event, typically a crime or an accident, take place. Also, to have knowledge of an event or change from personal observation or experience. Testimony, a formal written or spoken testament, especially one given in the court of law. Okay? And actually, testimony, as I looked up that, it originates from the Latin testis, I guess is how you pronounce it, meaning a witness. So the title could really be a witness. The witness of a witness. As we think about testimony and witness, think of it as a witness is something we are. A witness is something we are. Give testimony is what a witness does. In the court of law, we have a judge, we have jury, we have the accused or the defendant. We have the accuser or the plaintiff. And then we have these people called to prove the story either one way or the other, and these people are called witnesses. Okay, the witness is asked to give a sworn testimony of the events they have seen or heard. Also, in a marriage ceremony, at some point the minister says something along the lines of, before God and these witnesses, indicating there that the people in attendance are about to witness what they will witness, what's going to take place. They are witnesses of what is going to happen there. Thinking also of our baptism, when we made our vows, the minister just says, before God and these witnesses that are around upon him, witnessing the vows that we have made when we went into the waters. So what are we as believers in Jesus Christ? What are we witnesses of? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Let's turn to that quickly. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter here tells how he had witnessed the sufferings of Christ. He had personally witnessed them. Remember, Peter there saw Christ and denied him. He actually witnessed the trial of Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. From the beginning of the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. The apostles here, Judas had hung himself. They were down to 11. They needed another. They wanted to fulfill Scripture and call another apostle. The requirement, one of the requirements for an apostle was to personally witness Jesus resurrected after he was resurrected. Acts chapter 22, verse 15. I love this story. Ananias there, coming to Saul just after his encounter with Jesus. What a thing to be called to do. Meet a man that has been persecuting the church. And as he meets Paul there and calls him Brother Saul. Acts chapter 22, verse 15 says, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Saul, originally, the one who had persecuted Jesus Christ, was now going to be a witness of the things that he had seen and heard. And then in our text for this evening, John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, John sent from God, the same came for a witness to bear witness. What had John witnessed? If we read on there, at the end of verse 7 and in through verse 8, to bear witness of the light, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So John here witnessed the light, and now he was able to witness about the light. And if we read up to verse 6 there in the beginning of John chapter 1, we know obviously that the light is Jesus Christ himself. John had witnessed him. He had was able to witness about him, of what he had seen and heard. So let's make this a little more personal. We have read through Scripture about different witnesses there. Let's make this a little more personal. Are we witnesses here tonight? And if so, what have we witnessed? Think about this statement. What we have witnessed is foundational to how we will witness. In other words, what we experience will directly affect what we experience will directly affect the way we relay information about that experience. Let's say I wanted to take a trip. I wanted to go to Maine and visit one of the churches up there. I could pull out a map or get my phone out. You know, there's lots of apps on the phone to get a map, but you could pull out a map and look on the map and say, okay, I can get from here, my home in Pennsylvania, take this route and get to Maine here. I could follow the map and get there. It would get me there. If I would ask someone who has taken the trip multiple times, they could give me information like, okay, you want to stay off this section of this route because there's a lot of road work. They could tell me, you know, you want to go through this city at this time because the traffic is a lot less. Both ways would get me to my destination. But the advice from the person who has personally witnessed that route will make me getting there a lot quicker and a lot less hassle than looking at the map. Because that person has witnessed the trip, he can relay information about the trip. So back to the question, are we witnesses? Each one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior are witnesses. So what have we witnessed? I'm going to look up a couple more scriptures here. We as believers in Christ Jesus have witnessed a new life in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. For we are not as many. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have witnessed that new life in Christ. The second thing that we as believers have witnessed is the fellowship of brethren of like precious faith. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing to have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can fellowship with. The third thing that we as believers have witnessed is the peace which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Not that anything will never go wrong, but through the hard times we can experience a peace that the world knows nothing of. We see the turmoil around us right now with the virus, and the people don't know what to think. There's a lot of misinformation out there. It's panic. We have a Heavenly Father that we can trust in peace. Not that we be sensible about everything, obviously, but we have that peace. We know our Heavenly Father is with us, and we can trust Him. The fourth thing we as believers have witnessed is we have experienced the love and forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. John 3:16, a very familiar passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We have experienced that love, that forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. What a thing to experience. The love and forgiveness of Almighty God. to each one of us, when there is nothing we could ever do to deserve it. He gave it. You know, each one of us as believers have experienced these four things, and we continue to experience them. It's not a once and done thing for some of these. You see, now that we have experienced these things, we now have something to testify about. We have something to witness about. Because we have experienced that new life in Christ, we now can share to the unsaved around us what Jesus Christ can do for them. Because we have experienced the fellowship together with like-minded believers, we now can encourage people that they do not have to go through things alone. We talked last Sunday, Jeff and Josh both talked on encouragement. What a powerful tool it is. When we meet together with believers of like precious faith, you know, that's a powerful tool that can be given, encouragement, something we can do for each other. Another benefit of fellowship and meeting together is accountability. We can be accountable to one another. Because we have, as believers, have experienced the peace of God that passes all understanding, we now can encourage people to give it to God. Tell how God has worked in my own life and has given us peace. Brian talked this morning about the love of God and people seeing it, and sometimes people won't see it unless there's a need. And I think if we follow the Spirit of God, He will show us in people's lives the needs where we can witness to them and show us doors that will get us in there maybe. And we can witness to them and show them God's love and peace in their lives. Because we have experienced as believers the love and forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, every day we now can show that love and forgiveness to those around us. Tell them how God has forgiven us and loved us, and will forgive them if they will ask. Back in the Sunday school lesson on Revelation chapter 11 and the two witnesses, the question was asked, can we be a silent witness? I opened it up to the class. I thought about that question, can we be a silent witness? And my mind went to Jesus Christ Himself as He was on trial there, and Pilate was asking Him all those things. What did Jesus' silence do? Pilate marveled. And so Jesus Christ at that point could be a silent witness. There are times I believe that we can be witnesses and still be silent. However, I also believe that many times we err on the side of silence. We don't want to open ourselves up to criticism or whatever, flack. We err on the side of silence and hope maybe that somehow our silence can be a testimony. And it can be sometimes, but I think many times we do keep quiet too often when it comes to testifying for Christ. In closing, as we read John chapter 1 there, verses 6 and 7, instead of John's name, I would like each of us to put our own name in that space. There was a man sent from God whose name was, and you fill in your name there. Or a woman, you know, a man is obviously either one there. Put our name in that place. And as we go from this place, let's all follow the Spirit of God. Follow His leading and be the best witness that we can be.
want to thank Brother Dustin for his thoughts this evening. As a challenge, what do we do with the testimony that we are given today? The verse that stood out to me he read was 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'll just read it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Sometimes we, as believers, and I'll speak for myself, we grew up in a Christian family, Christian home, been taught Christian values from little up. And sometimes we don't see what we're saved from. We understand what God has given to each one of us, what he has saved us from. He has saved us from eternal damnation. And he has given us something to truly testify to those around us. Those thoughts in mind, let's all stand for a word of prayer.